Now, let's turn to the book of Hezekiah. Another one, sorry. My kids are all looking for Hezekiah right now. let's go to Exodus chapter 23. The last time I preached, we were in this chapter too. Now Sharon and I have, after being married, you know, we got married on Saturday, went on a week-long honeymoon, and then we came home to 5 kids, and it's wonderful. So we've got Ryan is the oldest, he's 11, and Emily is 10, Levi is 8, and of course, most of you all know Enoch and Ethan, they're 4 and 2. So we are just very grateful to have them and looking forward to raising them for the Lord. But all right, let's read Exodus 23. And I think I will just read one verse to start off with, in verse 13. Exodus 23:13 says, "And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard in thy mouth." So I preached, started a message on this verse the last time. I think it was January. When I started this, and I only got a short way through the message, so we're gonna finish it today, and I think we'll find some applications also to the testimony that I've just shared, and be able to apply that to our lives. But before I go any further, let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to your word now and to hear it preached and to study it and to meditate on it. We pray that you would work on our hearts, pray that you would work on my heart and help me to say only the things that you would have me to say. And we pray that we would be open and attentive to your word and that we would learn something from your word tonight that we can apply to our lives and see your word change our lives. And we thank you so much for your love towards us, and we love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we looked at the idea of being circumspect. It was a few weeks ago, so I'll review a little bit before we go into it. But being circumspect in our obedience to God's word. This is the only time where this word is used. It is a similar word used in Ephesians chapter 5 is walk circumspectly. We're familiar with that verse. But being circumspect is the idea of being careful, being prudent, being watchful, the idea of being on guard. And we looked at the idea of guarding our obedience to the word of God, being circumspect in how we obey God's word and guarding against things that hinder us from obeying God's word. And last time, we looked at one very specific area that God gives us a help. It tells us, do this in order to guard your obedience to God's word. And that was from Hebrews chapter 12, where it tells us to hold fast the profession of our faith in the context of, Hebrews 12, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Is talking about coming to church and how believers help each other brothers and sisters in Christ and help each other in guard our obedience to God's word. It's one of the areas where the Bible gives us that. But we talked about how being circumspect in God's word, how we need to think on God's word, we need to meditate on God's word and be very careful and be watchful in our obedience and be careful not to let the word of God be something that's a light thing to us and be something where we keep God's word with all of our hearts and we be careful against those things that would prevent us from obeying God's word, things that we allow into our lives, things that we listen to or watch, and just weighing each decision that we make, and is this in accordance to God's word? So, and this is in the middle of the book of Exodus, and of course, in the book of Exodus and the following books, God's giving a lot of commandments to the Israelites. He's giving them a lot of things to do, very practical things to do, and he's laying out, you know, the Ten Commandments and all these different laws and so many different things. And by the time you get to the book of Deuteronomy, which we looked at the book of Deuteronomy, and we also looked at the book of 1 John last time, and the motivation behind being circumspect in our obedience. So why do we want to be so careful to keep the Word of God? Why do we want to be so careful in making sure that we're obeying God's Word? And how do we get that motivation? How do we get that desire there to do that? How do we get that desire for God's Word? How do we get that love there, that love that just burns in our hearts and causes us to read God's Word every day and to look forward to it and to apply it to our lives in a way that where we can actually see it change our lives, where we actually see it affect our decisions. And that, of course, comes from our love for God. And how we get that love for God is by dwelling from 1 John chapter 3 and chapter 4 from the book of Deuteronomy, stresses it over and over and over again, is focusing on how God loves us. When we think about God's love for us, and like we heard from the book of Matthew this morning, thinking about, of course, our salvation, what Christ went through with salvation. And there's so many different aspects of it, from the Garden of Gethsemane. And, of course, even before that, just him coming to earth as a baby and walking on this earth as a man. And then that the whole crucifixion week and everything that he went through. And thinking about his love for us. The more we dwell on God's love for us, it gives us that love for him. And that will give us that desire for God's word. And it's something that will help us to walk circumspectly in our obedience to God's word. So another help that is given directly in this verse that we did not talk about last time is the second part of Exodus 23, verse 13. It says, "And make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard in thy mouth." Found this to be a really interesting phrase and something I think we see brought up similarly throughout other parts of Scripture. But it's interesting how it's worded here. That make no mention of the name of other gods. Don't even speak the name of other gods. God, of course, had warned his children, the children of Israel here, against other gods. You know, have no other god before me. Don't have any association with the surrounding nations. Don't take their daughters for your sons and give your sons to their daughters to marry, because they'll pull you away and you'll go and serve other gods. He warned them over and over again against serving these other gods, putting anything before God. Of course, Exodus chapter 34, I believe it is, where God describes himself as a jealous God. He says, "I am jealous." He didn't want them to put anything else before him. And when you think about who God is and what he's done for us, it just makes sense. You should never put something before the Lord of God. But he gives a very specific instruction here on how to do that and how to help us guard against having those other gods in our life. And that is, don't mention their name. Don't talk about them. Don't speak of them. Go that far is to don't even mention the name of those other gods. Let it not be heard in thy, neither let it be heard in thy mouth. This is a way we can be careful to protect our obedience to God's word. Of course, we don't have other gods that we bow down to here normally, like the children of Israel. Their gods are gods of stone and gods of the other nations around them. But of course, as we know, we have other things that we put before the Lord our God. And that would be a false god. If there's something that is higher priority in your life than the Lord, that is a false god. If it's something that's higher priority in your life than obeying what God has said, and that is a false god. And there is some easy things we can pick on that are very obvious to see. Like if something prevents you from coming to church, or the Bible says to come to church, and that's a false god. That's put above God, or from reading your Bible, or from praying. But anything that God tells us to do. If there's something in your life that prevents you from having pure thoughts and a pure mind like God tells us to do, that's a false god. That's put above what God told you to do. It's something you need to put out of your life. It's something that causes you to have, causes you to be a gossip, or causes you to just to be pulled into the world, or fleshly thing. That's a false god. Something that is put above God. And those things that we would put above God in our lives, we need to recognize those things. We need to ask God to show us, what are these things in my life that I tend to want to put above God? And when we recognize those things, when we know what they are, when we can see those things, put it so far away as you don't even mention the name of it. Don't even mention the name. The reason for not mentioning the name or not talking about it is because when you talk about something, when you're able to talk about something, in your own family or with your friends or with your coworkers, you start to get comfortable around it. And it can be a subtle way that the devil starts to get some inroads into your life. And if you're talking about it, it's on your mind, maybe it's inappropriate conversations at the workplace or something like that with coworkers, and something you would never think about or be involved in, but you hear it going on around you. You hear it talked about, and you just get comfortable around it. And it's something that can start to be a danger in your life. We don't want to get comfortable around things that can lead us to sin or to put anything above God, a false God. We don't want to get comfortable around those false gods. And this is the first step in guarding against that. The more comfortable we are with something that is wrong, the closer we'll get to it. We'll find ourselves okay with getting closer and closer to it. It can be that way with something that I've seen a lot in with youth that I've worked with previously in other churches and whatnot. Something like music. You start to listen to a little music that's just a little bit off, and to get comfortable around that. Well, then it's not hard to music that's a little bit further off, and to get comfortable around that, and a little bit further off. And that's an easy one to pick on. There can be many different things in our life that we start to get comfortable with, and it leads more and more into sin. And sin can control and dominate our life. We need to realize how dangerous it is to let those little things in our life gain a foothold in our life. Just something very, very small can, the devil can use something very small in your life. There's a reason why the Bible says not to give place to the devil. He doesn't need much. He just needs a very small foothold. And before you know it, you'll be in sin that will totally, totally dominate your life. And you'll end up in a place where you think, how did I get here? And you'll find yourself with false gods all over your life, bowing down to false gods, and God is nowhere in the picture, as the children of Israel did. When they first went into the promised land, they were following God. When Joshua was there, and as long as he was alive, and as long as the elders who knew Joshua were alive, they followed God. They followed God's commandments. But as they died off, Israel just got more and more comfortable with the surrounding nations and more comfortable with these other gods. And before they know it, they were in such deep sin that, God had pronounced judgment on them and sent them into captivity. So sin can control our life. It can be different for everyone. It's different things that people struggle with. Men need to be really careful about the sin of lust. That's something that we can easily apply this to. Make no mention of the name of other gods. No, you need to let it be heard in your mouth. Don't let any little bit. If that's something that you struggle with, which most men do, it's our nature, and we're made that way. Be very, very careful about that. Don't let the smallest. Don't watch TV with that has bad commercials. So don't watch the news station that's got an immodestly dressed news anchor. Don't go to the news websites that have dangerous advertisements or pictures that pop up. Little things like that can start to gain. You start to get comfortable around it. Start to get comfortable around it, and it leads to worse and worse. An obvious one to pick on is if you struggle with alcohol, don't go to the bar. Don't watch TV commercials that have alcohol in them. Stay away from friends that drink. Things like that. Just stay away from the influence of it. Make no mention of it. If you're in your family, you notice that you've been watching some TV shows or some movies or your family's been, reading some books or something, that you start to notice some bad influences in your family. We need to step away from this. get as far away from it as you can. Just make no mention. You know what? We're going to get away from this. Make no mention of the name of it. And, you know, maybe it can be something that keeps you from being submissive to God. Something that, you know, we'd rather submit to something that we love, something that we like, as opposed to submitting to God. Maybe it's a hope for a career, a dream that you have, young people, you know, teenagers. When I was a teenager, I had this idea, you know, I wanted to be a pilot in the Air Force. No one told me I wasn't smart enough to do that, but but that was, you know, kind of a dream I had, like, you know, this is what I want to do. But there came a point in my life where I realized God wanted me to go in the ministry. So, you know what, am I going to give that up, or am I going to follow the Lord? You know, we need to guard against anything that would threaten our obedience to God's word. If there's a desire that you have there, something, it could be anything, but something that you know that your heart desires, that your flesh desires, and maybe it's not totally a bad thing. Maybe it's not sin, but you know that that is going to keep you from obeying God. It's going to be something that's going to be put above God. Don't think about it, but don't even mention the name of it. Put it that far away from you where you won't even mention the name of it. And anything that prevents us from serving the Lord. The verse we're familiar with in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. I'm going to read it. So I won't be able to quote it. First Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 33, the Bible says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." The word here talking about communications, it could be talking about our conversation, but it really implies our associations, or rather things that we're associating with, or things that we are familiar with, familiarity, things that are familiar to us. And this is the idea that we're talking about here, you know, evil communications, things that our conversation and our associations will affect our behavior. So we need to be very careful to guard against those things. They will affect our manner. They will affect our behavior and how we serve the Lord. We need to guard against those communications that are evil. They're against God's word. There's things that will keep us from obeying God's word. And let's look at Psalm 119 here too. Something that I found interesting studying this. I go a lot Psalm 119, I know, but we're just going to read a couple verses in Psalm 119, verses 4 and 5. This brings out this idea of being circumspect in the word of God. I'll just read a couple verses. Psalm 119, verse 4 and 5 says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." So in this, of course, we see this brought out so much in Psalm 119, how the psalmist just wants to follow God's word, and he wants to help others to follow God's word. And you see this desire that he has here. To keep, you know, he says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." This is one of the first times, or this is the first time in this psalm, but multiple times throughout the psalm, he prays and asks God he's asking God to help him to keep his statutes, to keep these things. He wants to keep them circumspect. He wants to keep them diligently. Another thing that we need to do in order to keep this, keep the word, protect our obedience to God's word, is to pray, like the psalmist did. So many times he prayed for God's help to give him that desire for the word of God, and that desire needs to be there. We need to ask the Lord to help us that every day when we pray. Ask God, "Lord, give me a desire to guard my obedience. Lord, give me a desire for your word, a desire to keep your word," and God will give us that. As we spend that time in prayer, asking God to give us that desire, you'll see the Lord will bless that. The Lord will bless it. When you spend that time in prayer, you'll begin to build that relationship with God. As you study God's word and as you pray, that you'll see that love grow for God's word and for the Lord, because you'll see him answer that prayer. But it's something that we need to pray for, because it goes against our flesh. It goes against what we want to do. We want to do our own thing. We don't want to follow God's word. So we need to ask God to help us with that. And we need to, is something that needs to be a daily thing, as we talked about last time as well. And I'm going to take the last few minutes to finish up. We're going to go back to Exodus chapter 23 and look how this is applied at the end of the chapter. Exodus chapter 23. This time we're going to read verses 20 down through a few verses here. Interesting how it's brought out here. Exodus chapter 23, starting in verse 20. The Bible says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. And he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." So in this passage, he talks about the angel. He says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee." This angel that was before the children of Israel here, and he was before them in different forms ever since from the time they were in Egypt to the time they got to the promised land. This angel was a manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Acts chapter 7. I'll read you a couple verses here. Acts chapter 7. Let's see. Acts chapter 7, and let's read, let me read verse 35 says, kind of jumping into the middle of the story here, but verse 35 says, "This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. And he brought them out after he had showed them wonders and signs in Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles given to us." Here he's just bringing out how that angel that was with them is the same person as the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He's referring to is he that was in the church of the wilderness is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 9. Just kind of bringing out how when they refer back to the angel who is with them, or the person who is with them in the wilderness, it calls him Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9 says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents." When you look at that story, it talks about them tempting the Lord. God sent those serpents. Here it refers to him as Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Exodus 23, in verse 20, and verse 23, it talks about that angel. This is a manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though Acts 7, 1 Corinthians 10, he's called Christ there, in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the same person they're referring to, they call Jesus Christ, is Jehovah. It's a good thing to point out. If you have any JWs come to your door, go through these few verses in Exodus here and Leviticus and Numbers and say, who's this? who is this God? That's the manifestation of God here. It calls him Jehovah over and over again. It calls the angel Jehovah in some of the verses. Then take them to 1 Corinthians 10, take them to Acts 7. Say, okay, is this the same person? Yes, it is. He's called Jesus Christ here. So the children of Israel here, they have a manifestation of Jesus Christ that they're supposed to obey. So beware of him, obey his voice, provoke him not, and basically he'll bless you. He'll protect you. He'll give you victory over your enemies. And, you know, he'll help you to do this. So he's telling them to be circumspect in your obedience. Stay away from these gods. Stay away from these false gods. And here's how you do this is, you know, I'm going to send this angel before you, obey him, obey his voice, and he will give you the victory. He's the one that will help you. He'll give you victory over these nations. And like it brought out in verse 24, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images, and ye shall serve the Lord your God. This, in these couple verses, this isn't as much of a command as the other one. He's saying this is what the result will be. If you obey this angel, this will be the result. You won't follow their gods. You'll break down their images, and you will serve the Lord your God. Well, we know from John, the book of John chapter 1 and other passages in Scripture, of course, that we also have a manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ that God has given us, that we are to follow and to obey. And that is, of course, the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And so if we will follow and obey the Word of God, and he will keep us in the way, as he says here in verse 20, and he'll bring us to that place where God has prepared for you. So God has a plan and purpose for each one of our lives. Just like he had for the children of Israel. God's plan and purpose for the children of Israel was for them to end up in the promised land, in the place where they can serve the Lord there and fulfill his commandments, and they would have a tremendous life. They would be the greatest nation on earth. You know, he's talking about, I'll take sickness away from you, I'll bless your bread, your water, your land. It's just, everything will be great. That was God's plan and purpose for their life, if they would obey and follow God. And God promised to keep them in the way, to keep them in that plan, in that purpose. What they had to do was obey that angel, obey the commands that God had given them, was obey the Word of God. Same thing for us. And God has a plan and a purpose for our life too, just like he did for the children of Israel. And the devil will do all he can to get rid of that plan that God has for us, to get us off course, to ruin us. He will do everything he can to get those false gods in your life, just like he did with the children of Israel. Remember the story of the Moabites, and they were pulled away by the women of the Moabites, and had gotten all off course, and God had to send judgment and get them back on course. Devil's going to do the same thing in our lives. He's going to send us these false gods, so many things that if we'll just put those things above God, then he'll get us off the course, off the plan in our life. But in order for God to bring us to that place of victory and of service for him, where we can accomplish that plan and purpose for life, we have to follow the Bible. The Bible will keep us in the way. And in order to follow the Bible, we got to be circumspect about it. We got to be careful. We got to guard it. So be very, very careful about this matter of being circumspect in your obedience to God's word. It's a big deal. This is what the whole plan and purpose that God has for your life hinges on, this matter right here. If you're not guarding against your obedience to God's word, excuse me, then you will wreck the whole purpose God has for your life. We have one chance. We've got one life. That's it. And then we're done. For Christians, then we get to live in heaven in eternity with God. But this is the one chance God gives us to serve him and to show how much we love him. This is a chance that we have. We won't, in heaven, we can love God, we can serve God, we can praise God, we can glorify God and all that. But we won't have that sin nature there. It'll just be what we'll do. We won't have a chance to, here we have such a chance to glorify God and to show our love for God, because we have to choose to do that. In heaven, it won't so much be a choice, it'll just be what we do. I mean, it'll just be the choice we'll always make. But here, We have a chance to choose God, to show our love by choosing God, by choosing to obey His word. This is the only chance we have to do that. When you realize how much God loves us and you know so much about God that you want to love Him and you want to do that, you gotta be circumspect in your obedience to God's word. If you're not, the devil will get you off course and you'll ruin the plan and purpose for your life. I can't help but think about, you know, mine and Sharon's story that we told. The devil's done a lot in our lives to get us off of that plan and purpose. We don't know all that God has for us in the future, but, you know, He's going to have us in the ministry somewhere and someday. And He's done a lot to try and get us off of that course. And the only reason that, you know, God, we've seen God work in our life and God's grace in our life and where we still can do something for the Lord is not because of us, just because of faithfulness to the word of God, just daily obedience and decisions to the word of God. There's so much that has happened in both of our lives where we could have easily gone away from the Lord. You know, we could have, our spouses, we could have followed our former spouses. Well, they're off into the world. We can go to, no one will say anything, you know, but we just stay faithful to the word of God and you'll see that plan and that purpose accomplished in your life. So let's be careful, be circumspect, be guarding our obedience to God's word so that we can see the Lord use us for His purpose, for His glory. And we'll finish up with that.